Welcome to Christ Church Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
My home is not on this earth, not in this world.
Thank you so much, Andy, for that welcome and for having me today. It's great to be here. I'm with my daughter, Kezia, who's here on the front row, my 15-year-old daughter. We've had a weekend in Manchester, which has been great. We've never been here before. I just will say, the last time I was in such awful weather was a church holiday at Kefin Lee. And I'm not joking. No. I'm not joking, but I've got confidence that next weekend you're going to have a great time, whatever the weather. But do pray for the weather. It's great, Kefin Lee. We went there a number of years ago, had a great church weekend together, so you'll have a good time. Okay, so yeah, as Andy says, I've come up from London, speaking at the theology school yesterday, which I loved. It's just great, isn't it, to be in a group of people, a room full of people just hungry to dig into the Word of God. I mean, there's nothing better. What could go wrong? It's just fantastic. So we enjoyed that, and then we enjoyed an afternoon in Manchester doing a bit of shopping and eating and just not having to do anything normal that you do at home on a Saturday. So that was nice. So, and I understand you've been doing a series on prayer at the moment, is that right, in your preaching series? But today I'm Andy kindly gave me carte blanche on what to speak on this morning, which is really nice as a preacher. And we've been doing a series at home on Ephesians, and so I'm full of Ephesians at the moment. My head is full of Ephesians, and we've been working through it. And so what I've brought to you today is a sermon I'm calling Night and Day. Hopefully you'll see why. And I love what Dan just said, actually, about being different, because that's essentially what I'm talking about today, about how we are different and how our lives should look different. So we'll get right going. So the letter to the Ephesians that we're looking at, it's a letter written by the Apostle Paul. It's named badly because it's not actually a letter written to the church at Ephesus. It's a letter that's written, we think, as a more of a circular, so a letter that's going round churches of a region. Probably Ephesus was the first church that received it. And so at the beginning of the letter, you read from Paul to the saints in Ephesus. But those words in Ephesus are added later. So each church would have added their name as they read it out to the church. And so it's a circular letter. Therefore, it's not like the letter to the Corinthians or some other letters. It's not addressing particular issues in a church. He's not writing to address things. So it's like a general treatise, if you like, of the gospel. It's a fabulous letter that unpacks what God has done through Christ. So it's so applicable. Interestingly, when you read it, you find it's, unsurprisingly, very applicable to our day as it was to theirs. So I'm hoping that today we're going to really get something out of it. In it all, I want us to remember, as always, that we keep our eyes on that wonderful Jesus that we were singing about. It's all, as we gather together, we're gathering to him. And so although I'm talking about us and how we are to be different, we must keep in mind that it's all about him, and he's the reason that we're different. This is not a sermon about behaviour modification. It's more about living in the way that we should, as what Paul calls children of light. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
Okay. So, as I said, Paul's writing to churches in an area called Asia Minor, and he spends, it's a bit of a letter of two halves. So obviously I'm, for the purposes of today, of time, I'm preaching one small section from a letter. But it is a letter, so it's really helpful, actually, to go away and just read the letter. It's not, you know, very often we pull little chunks of the Bible out, but it's a letter written. It doesn't take long to read. You can read it through in a few minutes. So I would encourage you to go away and read it and really get the context of this as well, not just take the few verses in isolation. And what Paul does in the letter, really, is it's a bit of a letter of two halves. You've got a lot of material at the beginning where he's explaining and talking about what God has done in Christ and how we, therefore, as believers, are in Christ and what that means. And it is full of incredible, mind-blowing, soul-enriching truth. I would really encourage you to go away and read it. One of my colleagues at City Hope tells this story where a guy he knew came to one of the pastors in the church and said, I'm struggling with some things. Can you disciple me? Will you help me out with this? And this is not necessarily a model for discipleship. I'm not suggesting everybody do this. But this guy said to this young man, he said, well, I've got some advice for you. He said, go away and read Ephesians 1 and 2 until you believe it and then come back to me. And it really is packed with such incredible truth, the gospel in view. And it's almost like when John writes the Revelation, you know, he has this heavenly vision. Yeah, so he's sort of taken out of himself and has this vision. And Ephesians is almost like that. My colleague actually said this when he preached it recently. It's almost like Paul has this view that is a kind of heavenly view on our position in Christ. And he's just struggling even to find the words of how amazing it is. So that's where we start. We start with the fact that we are in Christ. And as a result, we inherit every spiritual blessing, he says. Every spiritual blessing is ours. He says we're chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. We're chosen to give glory to God through Christ. And that's really, there's a good two, three chapters of that, which we're not going to have time to look at. But keep that in mind, because then what we get in the rest of the letter is Paul saying, so what? So now, as a result of that truth, how do things look? Who are we and what do we do? And in fact, in the beginning of chapter 1, he says, sorry, in the beginning of chapter 4, he uses these words, live a life worthy of the call you've received. So because of what we see that God has done in Christ, in receiving us, in adopting us, in making his own children, in redeeming us, in showing his grace to us, because of all those things, now live a life worthy of the call. And I've called this night and day because, as Dan said, you know, we're meant to look different. It's meant to be obvious that we're different from the world. You know that expression when somebody's trying to explain something are opposites? It's like night and day. They're different things. And we're going to look at some of the ways that Paul expresses that in this letter. So we're going to read. The passage is going to come up, I hope. You see that, okay? I'm going to read it from the screen. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible, for what makes everything visible is light. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Okay, so we're going to just look at three pictures, if you like, three opposites that Paul draws out to get this idea that of night and day. And the first one of those, the first obvious one that he uses, is the pair darkness and light. So dark and light. Interestingly, at the beginning of chapter 5, Paul pulls out three specific areas of living, really, that he wants to address. One is sexual sin, one is language, what we say, what we do with our words, and one is greed. And somebody has written, I read this the other day, that the epistle, the Ephesians is the epistle for today. It's a letter that is so relevant for today. And I think when you look at those three things that Paul pulls out in chapter 5, sexuality and sexual sin, language, what we say, how we say things, and greed, I think you'd agree, they're things which in every generation we need guidance in. And it seems to me that, I don't know if you see this as well, that the church, that Christianity, at times in an effort to be culturally relevant, there's a temptation to fit in at times, which is not always wrong, because I welcome cultural relevance. You know, we want to have a message that reaches our world. And there's a lot you can say about contextualising the gospel message, making it clear to people who have no understanding of it in this rather post-Christian society that we live in. I'm all for that. And I'm all for meeting people where they are. This is not about shaming unbelievers, and it's not about shaming anyone. It's about seeing the difference, seeing the way that Paul says, no, don't even talk about darkness. You know, you're children of light now, and what a difference that makes. And it can seem the lines get a bit blurred, can't it? So I was even reading the other day, there's an American Lutheran pastor called Nadia Boltz-Weber. I don't know if anybody's come across her. I follow her on Twitter. She's very interesting. And she's written a book. She's written a number of books. But she started a church called the House for Saints and Sinners, or House for All Saints and Sinners, I think it's called, in Denver. But she's written a book called Shameless recently. And when I was thinking about the way that the lines between darkness and light can sometimes get a bit blurred, and we can be pulled a bit in one direction or another. And I think the Apostle Paul would be there, just no. You know, let's remember, you're children of light. Walk then as children of light. Listen to this that Nadia Boltz-Weber writes in her book. I'm here to tell you, unless your sexual desires are for minors or animals, or your sexual choices are hurting you or those you love, those desires are not something you need to struggle with. They're something to listen to, make decisions about, explore, perhaps have caution about. But struggle with, fight against, make enemies of? No. And this one's not very subtle, but there are subtle blurrings in our culture and even in our Christian culture of darkness and light. And, you know, not even talking, Paul says, of the deeds of darkness, but exposing them. Actually, we have to be so careful to keep them apart. To say, as Paul says, he uses the word walk, not live, actually. If you are children of light, then walk as children of light. You know, in all matters of life, and as I say, he pulls out these three specifics, but in all matters, let's keep clear. Let's not blur the lines, Paul says. Why? Because you are children of light. You were once darkness. And in 1 Corinthians, in fact, when Paul lists a list of sins of people who are not of the kingdom, he says, but don't forget, you were once such. You were once such. We are all redeemed only by grace, aren't we? We're all brought in and adopted as children of God only by grace, only because of Jesus' faultlessness, not ours. So we mustn't, you know, we don't want to shame people, and we don't want to make anyone feel there's a barrier between the church and them. We want people to come. You know, Jesus is welcoming everybody, isn't he? When you read the Gospels, he's welcoming everybody. But he's then saving them for what? To be children of light, to be children who show the light of God. And when Paul says the light exposes things in the dark, it doesn't mean let's expose what people are doing and make them feel ashamed. No, it means when things come into light, they are enlightened. You know, the light shows sin for what it is. The light shows darkness for what it is. And so when we walk in the light, when we submit to him and his ways, when we love him, when we worship him, when we sacrifice things for him, when our lives are under his lordship more and more, that's light. You know, we're bringing light. We are walking as children of light, and the deeds of darkness will be exposed. And actually, you can even say, can't you, that when a Christian steps into a situation, they bring light with them. We bring the kingdom into all sorts of situations. And I think the important thing as well is not to be afraid of going to places that are dark, which I'm sure you know, but actually being confident that we take the light with us, you know, we take the kingdom with us. So Paul is saying, don't be tempted to blur the lines. You can't really blur the lines between night and day or dark and light, okay? They're different things. They're opposites. Let's remember that. We, as Dan said earlier so helpfully, we're meant to look different. And the second pair of opposites that Paul comes up with here is foolishness and wisdom. So you've got a choice here. You can either be wise or you can be foolish. That's what he says. Don't be foolish, be wise. And he's writing this, of course, to Christians. He's writing this to believers. And he says, as we read in the passage, pay careful attention then to how you walk. Pay careful attention then to how you live. Because if you don't, the inference is that you're foolish. There's foolishness. Attend to wisdom. Grow up in your Christian thinking. Yeah, pay careful attention. That's not a flippant thing, is it? It's not like, well, it's fine because I'm saved and Jesus is working on me and we'll get there in the end. All of which is true. All of which is true. But actually he says pay careful attention. There's an attentiveness. Paul is encouraging us to attend to wisdom. And what is wisdom? Well, in opposition to what the world might say, it's knowing God's will, Paul says. Know the will of God. That's the opposite to foolishness. And of course, we know that the Bible also says that the world will look at us and think we're foolish because the foolishness of the world is the wisdom of God, and he uses the foolish things to shame the wise. We know that, but real wisdom is knowing the will of the Lord. And when we know it, we walk in it. And we've got to pay close attention. And the way we do that is by reading his word, by reading these things, by submitting to the word of God, by submitting to his spirit. As I was teaching yesterday at the School of Theology, by being filled with the spirit over and over again, as we'll come to a bit later. But these are the choices: dark and light, foolishness and wisdom. I know which ones I want. And the third pair of things that Paul writes about to these churches is drunkenness and being filled with the Spirit. So drunk and filled, they're opposites. He says, doesn't he, don't get drunk with wine. That leads to debauchery or reckless living, depending on your translation. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. And he takes his opportunity to contrast two things. And I guess the reason he does that is drunkenness is prevalent in that society, as it is in our society. We were out in Manchester last night, and there's lots of people having a good time, and lots of them were filled with wine and other beverages. And he's not, I don't believe Paul is anti-wine at all or anti-drinking, but he's making a contrast here because it's a problem in their society, as it is in ours. And also, you may remember in Acts 2, when at Pentecost, people saw those who had been filled with the Spirit for the first time and they thought they were drunk. So there's obviously some similarities between drunkenness and being filled. Some of the similarities you might think are, there's an abandon, there's an inhibition when we're filled with the Spirit and we're confident in him. There's a joy. You know, there's some similarities, aren't there? Also, I think it was Martin Lloyd-Jones who talked about being under the influence of the Holy Spirit rather than under the influence of booze. And that's a nice analogy, I think, when you read this scripture. Don't be drunk don't get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Be under the influence of the Spirit of God. And often people think Christianity is like just a long list of don'ts, don't they? Like, don't do this, don't do that, just don't do that. You know, when you're a Christian, you don't do those things. But actually, this passage is full of loads of do's as well. And for every don't, there's a do. And I think we could do well to talk about the do's a lot. So, don't get drunk with wine, but do be filled with the Spirit, Paul says. And when we are filled with the Spirit, we do those things that he lists. Just to say, I put this in my notes, I will tell you, we were out last night and we saw these people having a good time. Some of them had had too much to drink by about 6:30. I have a friend, a great friend of mine in our church. She's a Christian, and she, when you see her in a nightclub, you'd think she was drunk, but she isn't. She doesn't really drink, hardly at all. But she's on the dance floor. She likes to do a headstand on the dance floor. She's whooping, she's dancing all night long. She's a little bit crazy, but I think people saw her, they would think she'd had a skinful. She hasn't. She might have one drink, and she's just not a drinker at all. But it just makes me think of the joy of God, you know, of being full of him, of being alive in him, of being children of light. Brings such freedom and joy, rather like some people experience when they get drunk. It's obviously no comparison, which is why Paul contrasts the two. And the things that he says then, when be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, so exhorting and encouraging one another in the gospel as we speak to one another, as we sing together. You know, part of that singing together thing, I think, yes, we're acknowledging God and we're singing words that praise him and lift our hearts to him, but we're also singing to one another, aren't we? In a very real sense, we're encouraging one another in the gospel, exhorting one another about how great he is, how wonderful our Saviour is, what a blessed thing it is to be here together as the people of God. Yeah, that's God's design, that we do this together. And so he says, when you're filled with the Spirit, this is what you do. You speak to one another. In some translations say sing together, but or sing to one another. You don't want me to sing to you, trust me. I'd rather speak to you in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But it's about that togetherness. Singing and making music to your heart, in your hearts to the Lord. Again, it's like that welling up in our hearts to praise God is a work of the Spirit. Always giving thanks to God. Always, it says, giving thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's challenging, isn't it? Always giving thanks. But Paul says it's a mark of being filled with the Spirit. Now, we're always to give thanks. And, lovely this, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So because of our submission to Christ, we submit to one another as the Spirit-filled church. And that, again, is a beautiful thing that people in the world will see and be baffled by. It's quite baffling. You know, there's you guys, I think, at CCM, there's 6 Sunday services at various places, and lots of you, big church, but in smaller groups. And this is, it's a wonderful thing. Don't ever take for granted the Church of Jesus Christ and the way that it speaks to the world as we function together as a family, as a body, as the household of God. We love one another. We bear with one another. We submit to one another. Why? Because we're submitted to Christ as our head. And it's a beautiful thing. And it will speak to the world who is in darkness, because there's light here, because there's light among us. And if these things that Paul talks about, be filled with the Spirit and these things will ensue, if the Spirit is at work in your community, then these things will be evident. And also believe that if these things are evident, the Spirit will be at work among us, you know. So some commentators say those clauses about the things that we do as we're filled with the Spirit are outcomes of being filled with the Spirit. Some say they're like almost precursors to being filled with the Spirit. But in a way, I prefer to think of it as a cyclical thing. You know, as we are filled with the Spirit, as we submit to God, these beautiful things happen in us and amongst us. And as these things happen in us and amongst us, we'll be submitting to God and filled with His Spirit as a result. We'll catch the wind of God. So the word Spirit in the Greek and in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, is the same word for wind and breath. It's exactly the same word, interchangeable word. And I think it's so helpful for us to think about being filled with the wind of God. It's like He gives the impetus to our lives, like a sailboat or a sailboard or something. You put your sail up to catch the Spirit of God, to catch His impetus as He guides us, as He leads us, as we just keep submitting to Him, coming back to God, giving Him ourselves. And as we do that, and as we do these things as church, we catch the wind of God. There'll be more of Him amongst us. And we'll be more different. We'll be more different. It will be like night and day. Not that the two can't mix. It's not oil and water. It's not that we can't mix with the world, or we can't meet with people, and we can't eat with people, and we can't enjoy people, and we can't witness to people and serve people. It's that we must remain distinctive. Does that make sense? Get the difference? And throughout the New Testament, I've got a scripture, if I can have the next slide up there. Throughout the New Testament, Paul presents the gospel all throughout his letters as this idea of new creation, of something so radical happening as we come into Christ. That phrase, in Christ, is all through this letter to the Ephesians. He presents the gospel through the lens of, as we come into Christ, everything is new. This is Tom Wright's translation of the New Testament. Thus, if anyone is in the Messiah, he writes to the Corinthians, there is a new creation. Old things have gone, and look, everything has become new. Everything has become new. There's no night left in the day, if you will. There's no darkness left in the light. Everything is new. And we are not, I don't know about you, but I am not yet fully sanctified and perfect. That's not my experience. You know, God is working on me, thankfully, by His grace. I've been a Christian for something like 35 years, and there's still a lot of work to be done. But in Christ, everything is new. There's nothing left of the old as far as God's concerned, because I've been received because of Jesus and adopted as a daughter into the family of God. It's the most beautiful thing, and everything's changed. I'm no longer in the kingdom of darkness. I'm in the kingdom of light. I'm no longer pursuing foolishness. I'm pursuing wisdom as I try and seek what the Lord's will is for my life and for our church life together. Nothing is left as it was, you see. So the point Paul's making is you are children of light. You used to be darkness. Now you are light in the Lord, he says. Not in yourselves, not of ourselves, but in the Lord you are now light. Therefore, walk as children of light. Therefore, in reference and submission to our Saviour and Lord, walk then in a way that is fitting for his children. It's not a gospel of behaviour modification. It's not, is it, well, you must do better. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's like, no, do embrace that wonderful calling to be children of light, to be children of God. You've been adopted. It is just so remarkable that the King of Heaven would adopt you and me into his family and call us his children. And that's what we are. John, isn't it, says, what a privilege, what love he's lavished on us to call us his children. And that's what we are. We're children of God. But we're children who are not to remain babies. We're children who are to grow up as adult sons and daughters who represent the King, who take his kingdom, who bring light, who teach wisdom, who encourage wisdom among one another. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do about all of this? So the first thing to say is that if you know that you're not in the kingdom of light, that you're not yet received what Jesus has done by dying for you, by making a way for you to be adopted by his Father. If you've not done that, if you know that you're not yet, you haven't yet stepped into that wonderful light, then today you can do that and you've become a child of light. And let me encourage you, it's the best thing you could ever do, is respond to that call. And for the rest of us, you know, if there are things in your life which you know are still in darkness, or there's darkness creeping into areas of your life, Paul says it's not fitting as children of light. It's not to condemn us, it's to free us. You know, it's to free us to be who we're meant to be as God's children. And so there's no shame in bringing darkness into the light. In fact, there's every blessing in it, isn't there? Because we submit to Jesus and to his Father who want the best for us. And so we're going to, as we carry on worshipping this morning, just encourage you to open yourself up. Say to God, I need your spirit. Keep filling me with your spirit so that all these things that are fitting for a child of the light are in me. So that I'm not blurring the lines between darkness and light. So that I'm not still allowing foolish ways or foolish thinking to hamper me.